Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. All right, I want to do something a little bit different today. Why don't we call it a toss-up Tuesday? So, Rob, this is what I would like to do. Let's play a game of toss-up, and this is the scenario. It is 2:15 left in the game. Your team has the ball on the 20-yard line. Your team has one timeout. You are down four. I will give you one of these two quarterbacks. Which quarterback do you feel is best equipped to take your team down the field and score a touchdown? Let's play toss-up. Let's start with, in this scenario, Rob, would you rather have Dak Prescott or Tua Tagovailoa?
Oh, God. I know I'm going to lose.
That's the real answer to this question. We're just not winning the game.
Yeah. The opponent can celebrate. Tua. Tua by the slightest of margins. I do think Tua is smarter with the ball in these situations. I think he's more risk adverse. I think Dak is going to throw a backbreaking pick. I don't know we're going down the field with Tua, but I feel like the ball's going to stay in my team's hands the rest of the game. So I'm going to lean toward Tua.
You know what? I'm going to add a little bit of a caveat to my own question so I can make sure that I get the right answer. When is this game played? If this game is played in October, Dak's taking us down the field. If this is a week 7 Thursday night football game, sure, Dak, we're scoring on this drive. Is it January? Because if that's the case, I mean, I got a pick 6 coming one way or the other. We'll be better just run the Wildcat all the way down the field. We're not scoring a touchdown here. I'm going to take Dak. I think Dak gets a little bit of a bad rap. Certainly in this hypothetical against Tua, Tua's only taken his team to the playoffs one time, and he was terrible in that game. I'm also not even sure if Tua's going to be healthy enough to start in the postseason. I'm going to take Dak Prescott in this situation. I mean, we're not going to score one way or the other, but I do feel like Dak gives us a better chance of scoring. All right, same question. 2:15, one timeout left. Ball on the 20-yard line, down 4 points. We got to score a touchdown. Are you taking Brock Purdy or Jordan Love to get you down the field?
Who's my coach? Because a lot of what Brock Purdy is, I think, is
Zach Taylor.
Oh, then that's easy. I'm not taking Brock Purdy. I cannot take, unless you're giving me Kyle Shanahan, I can absolutely not take Brock Purdy. I will take Jordan Love. Brock Purdy's fine. Brock Purdy's like the 14th best quarterback in the NFL. I think with great coaching and talent around him, he looks at times like the 9th best quarterback in the NFL. But if I have a totally middle of the road coach like Zach Taylor, I don't trust Brock Purdy in those situations. Somewhere in his body is still the Iowa State player who loved to throw picks. I am going to take Jordan Love.
Yo, you know what I realize, low-key? You be throwing a lot of shade towards Iowa State. You don't really throw a lot of shade towards K-State. You do towards Missouri because I cheer for Missouri, and I get it. It's the back and forth. It's the rivalry. I get that, right? You be throwing a lot of shade towards Iowa State. What is Matt Campbell? What have the Cyclones done to you?
I mean, I got no beef with Iowa State.
You've been calling him Bush Light Boy. You've been calling him that for 5 years.
I mean, he is Bush Light Boy. The highlight of his career is when they finished those pallets up in Ames.
I'm going to take Brock Purdy for this reason. Now, I think that Love has a higher ceiling. Like, it is certainly more boom or bust. It will be a more dazzling drive if Jordan Love is there. I think Purdy's just consistent. I don't think Purdy throws an interception on this drive. I think you're wrong. I don't think he throws a pick on this drive. My only concern with Purdy would be this, and why what would make me pick Love, higher ceiling, and let's say that you take Brock Purdy and you put him on, I don't know, let's use the Chargers as an example. A team that has decent talents, but not like all-world talent on offense. I think Jordan Love's just better equipped on that team than Brock Purdy. So I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I'll take Brock Purdy. I don't feel good about it. I'm going to take Brock Purdy. All right, keeping with our toss-up, it is 2:15 on the clock. 20-yard line, one timeout left. Your team is down four. Which one of these quarterbacks do you trust to take you down the field? Jared Goff or Baker Mayfield?
2 years ago, this was an easy question. 2 years ago, the idea of saying Baker Mayfield was nonsensical. But now, Baker's had a revitalization in his career that I don't think we spent enough time really appreciating. Like, he was done. He had bottomed out in Carolina. That's the bottom of the barrel. And now he's a top 12-ish starting quarterback in the league. It's a really great, great bounce back story. I think Jared Goff's more physically talented, so I'm going to lean Goff. But I don't think Baker's a bad answer. I think Baker's a gamer and will give you everything he's got. But I'm going to take the better arm talent slightly and take Jared Goff.
I think Goff's the better quarterback. I don't really think that's arguable at this point. I don't know, man. It's something about Baker. He's a fighter. He's a survivor. I think Baker gives me a better chance of getting down the field in this scenario. Like, who do I want? Back up against the wall. We got to get a touchdown here. I think I'm going with Baker. I feel like we got a better chance at scoring. Baker's going to come in that locker room. He's going to give us all a speech. He's going to get us all fired up to go out there. And I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to get us down the field. Part of this is just the belief. And I believe in Baker. I'm going to side with Baker Mayfield. I think I know which one you're going to be on, but CJ Stroud or Jaden Daniels, which one do you trust? Which one's getting you down the field? Which one are you scoring a touchdown with?
I'm going to take Jaden Daniels. Is that who that I was going to take?
Yeah, of course. You've been hating on Stroud for years.
I've been here. I know it's July. We haven't gotten into the full-fledged football season yet, or even you haven't had fake football season yet. But you've been talking about a Commander and Jaden Daniels regression heavy. Do you know who had a regression heavy in their sophomore year? C.J. Stroud.
That did happen.
I saw it. Live and in 4K.
That's how I know it's about to happen to somebody else, because I've already seen it.
It was all over the television. And I think Jaden Daniels is more physically gifted than C.J. Stroud. Like, Jaden Daniels can do things that C.J. Stroud can't, like run around and make plays. So, yeah, I'm taking Daniels in that scenario over Stroud. I don't think it's, like, an obvious, but I think it's the safer and smarter play.
Yeah, we've been doing this with C.J. Stroud where I think it's been a little bit of hate. This is why. It wasn't that long ago that C.J. Stroud was the answer to all of these questions. Hey, which quarterback would you take? And now at 23 years old, it feels like we moved on from C.J. Stroud and we picked the new flavor of the month. I think that much more of the problems last year with the Texans were related to the surrounding parts and not the quarterback. That offensive line was arguably the worst last year in the National Football League. There was a stretch there where you didn't have Joe Mixon, Nico Collins, or Tank Dell. They were all out with injury. Any young quarterback is going to take a step back in that situation. I'm still very much a C.J. Stroud believer. You know what? I'm taking C.J. Stroud for this question. Last one. Are you taking Jalen Hurts or Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert. He is a better thrower of the football than Jalen Hurts. It is just undeniable.
For sure going to throw it to the other team.
And if you are...
certainly in a critical spot.
If you are not the Eagles, I think this... and this is a positive for Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman and the entire Eagles brain trust. I don't think Jalen Hurts works almost anywhere else in the country. I think if you traded Jalen Hurts straight up right now, one for one with Sam Darnold, the Eagles have figured out with Sam Darnold, and Jalen Hurts will be a bust in Seattle. Like, I think it is that simple. But if I'm not Nick Sirianni and the Eagles, I think Jalen Hurts is not the answer. I'm taking Justin Herbert just because he has his flaws, but he is a better passer than Jalen Hurts, so I have to take Justin Herbert.
No, I don't have to do anything. Please keep Justin Herbert off my team. I don't want him around me. I don't want him around my family. I don't want him around my loved ones or anyone that I care about. I don't trust him. at his age, at his stage in his career, with the numbers that he's put up, for you to have zero playoff wins and play poorly in the two games that you've played up against, we're talking about teams from the AFC South. You got a gift from the playoff gods. You had Jacksonville and Houston, and you laid an egg both times? No. I'm not taking Herbert in anything. In fact, I'll take anybody over Herbert. I'll take Anthony Richardson over Herbert. I'll take Tyler Shuck, and I haven't even seen him play. I'll take him. I'll take Daniel Jones. Who's starting for the Browns? I do not want Herbert in these situations. That concludes our toss-ups.
Do you agree with me, though, that the only place Hurts works is Philadelphia? Like, if you swapped out Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes is too extreme an example. If you swapped him out for C.J. Stroud, your favorite flavor of the month, and C.J. Stroud was an Eagle, and
he's
Jalen
not a flavor
Hurts
of the month. I think he's a good quarterback.
If you flopped them, is Jalen Hurts working in Houston? And this is,
I would just ask, how are we defining work? Could Jalen Hurts be a good quarterback on another team? Yes. Would they have won the Super Bowl? Probably not.
I think right now we are discussing if he's the fifth or sixth best quarterback in the country.
Yeah, he's probably like the 11th best quarterback.
I'm going to say he's like 12, 13, 14. Yeah. I think most fan bases would draft him and feel like we're not getting all the juice out of the squeeze.
Yeah, I don't know. You know my stance on this is I'm starting to feel like we do that thing with quarterbacks where we just don't give any of them credit anymore. Like, how many guys do we play this game with? We play this game with Jared Goff. We play this game with Jalen Hurts. We play this game with Brock Purdy. So then what quarterbacks do we think are good? I do think it's a little bit unfair. Yes, Jalen Hurts is in a great situation. He has a great offensive line, a great defense, great weapons. No question about it. But he's made plays in multiple Super Bowls against the team you're telling me has had the best defense in the league for the last three seasons and a team that has a Hall of Fame defensive coordinator. I think that player's got to get some credit for how he's played. Coming up on the other side, we'll switch gears just a little bit. Today is the 15-year anniversary of a monumental sport event. We'll talk about it. Keep right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, your home for the best food takes in KC.
Regular old American nachos. You know, I don't need jalapenos with mine, just chips, cheese.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we won't spend a whole lot of time talking about this. I know how you guys get when we talk about the association, but today is a pretty big anniversary. 15 years ago to the day LeBron James did this.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
I think that LeBron has a few things to his legacy. The first thing I think that LeBron has to his legacy, he is the greatest American basketball prospect ever. You could maybe argue Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but it was just different when LeBron was coming up. A lot of the emphasis placed on high school mixtapes and showing high school basketball games starts with LeBron James. For a player to be that talented and to have the media attention at the age that he is in is a very, very unique thing. LeBron has been in the public eye since a junior in high school when you saw this kid play and he looked like Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson, and for the most part has lived up to being those things. Regardless of how you feel about LeBron James, that is absolutely part of his legacy. His legacy is he is one of the greatest child basketball players, athletes, phenoms that we have ever seen in this country. So that's one part of his legacy. The second part that I think of his legacy is this. Now, I don't have the issue with it because LeBron didn't demand a trade. LeBron simply left in free agency. But the perception about LeBron with a whole lot of people is that he is a team hopper. If you think about the modern NBA and player movement and player empowerment, it started 15 years ago today. The fact that a player who was the best player in the league and in the prime of his career in front of everybody said, "I'm not going to stay here. I'm joining another team," was a landmark decision. No superstar had ever done that before. Mike played for one team. Larry played for one team. Magic played for one team. Superstars did not change teams. They stayed in one place, and eventually they won championships in that place. That was not LeBron's story. LeBron left. I don't think Kevin Durant leaves the Thunder to join the Warriors if it wasn't for this decision. I don't think the current CBA is in place the way that it is in the NBA if it wasn't for LeBron and that decision that happened 15 years ago. It has been a ripple effect that is still felt through this day around the NBA and around sports. It was a player at the prime of his career having the ultimate leverage over a situation. So I think one of the facets of LeBron's legacy is how tremendous of a prospect he was and that it worked out in a way that probably hasn't happened since Serena or maybe Tiger, that you were told that this player at a really young age is going to be somebody special and they turned out to be that special. The second part is that he's a team hopper, and it started right then and there. A lot of situations that have happened in the NBA, I don't know if they happened if LeBron made the decision to stay in Cleveland there. I think he made it okay. I think he made it okay to say no to your current team and leave and go join somebody else, especially in that fashion and the way that he did it. And it wasn't just that he went to go join a random team like, hey, no. He went to go join Dwayne Wade's team, a guy who had already won a championship. And wait, they were convincing Chris Bosh to also go down there and play? You're telling me that Chris Bosh was going to be the third best player on a championship team? It broke the NBA. I think there's a couple parts of his legacy. I think it's the child prodigy. I think it's the decision. I also think it's collapsing in the finals a year after that. You remember LeBron, not one, not two, not three. LeBron was pretty emphatic. Hey, we're about to dominate and run the league. LeBron was kind of a villain for that first year in Miami. He just was acting different and acting weird. You get to the NBA Finals. You're playing a team that everybody thinks you're going to beat. You're up 2-1 in the series, and you completely fade? There's maybe a lot of reasons people feel this way, but I think the number one basketball reason is that finals loss to the Mavericks. We're not talking about them losing to an all-time great team. They lost to the Mavericks. And he got outplayed at times by J.J. Barea. You will never get that off of you, not if you're trying to be the greatest. All-time great for sure. One of the greatest? Absolutely. The greatest? And I saw you lose a series to J.J. Barea and the Dallas Mavericks? I think they left a sour taste in people's mouth. And I also think that the last part of LeBron's legacy is he made the defining play in the most important, most impactful basketball game in the last 25 years. The block on Andre Iguodala is the play of the last 25 years of basketball. It is the most important game that has been played in basketball in the last 25 years. And LeBron made the play that shifted the NBA Finals. And they had one of the greatest comebacks that we've seen in sports history. LeBron means a lot of different things to a lot of people. But I think the number one thing that he means is player movement and player empowerment. And I think the decision, Rob, that happened 15 years ago that LeBron leaves Cleveland and goes to Miami, I still think the league is under that cloud and under that spell of that decision, and we still see the effects of that decision today.
I mean, this is semantics. We're saying the same thing, just differently. I also think part of the ripple effects of this is the super team and how we view the super team and all those things. Like, I know LeBron on his barbershop podcast will try to convince you that the Celtics were actually the first super team with KG, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce. No, That wasn't the first super team. The first super team that we think, like, hey, they gave the everyone took a little bit less to make just this incredible talent was that Heat team. And then you've seen it, what, a half dozen times since? You saw it with the Warriors when they brought in KD. You saw it then with the Cavs that beat the Warriors. That was Kevin Love, Kyrie, and then LeBron James again. Like, you see, that way of building a team became commonplace in the league. You got to just throw superstars at the problem. And I think we are seeing ripples effects of that to this day. I think we're coming out of that era, but LeBron in 2000, I guess it was a 2010 maybe, deciding that he's going to join the Heat with his buddy Bosch and his buddy Wade. Everyone views that now as like that was the super team era. And we're starting to come out of it in the Thunder, and I think you're seeing a lot of young superstars commit, and maybe that's the CBA, and we're saying the same thing. But I think that turned people off the association for a while, that if it was, hey, you don't have multiple superstars, if you don't have your own big three, you just aren't competitive. And I feel like that kind of turned people and made them feel a way about the association.
Yeah, I just feel like we always kind of move the goalpost because, I mean, this past year there was no super team, and then people telling me the teams aren't good enough, they don't have enough talent. Like, people will just always find their different reason of why they dislike the NBA. So you're right. There was a time where I would say that the Warriors and the Cavs broke the NBA. You had these two teams that were overpowered. That's not the NBA today, not at all. The Eastern Conference has never been more wide open than it will be this upcoming season. Something tells me people will have a problem with how much parity there is at the top of the Eastern Conference.
I think that's just the way we talk about the league, though. I think it is actually better for the health of the league that free agency is not, maybe there's one big free agent year. This is a bad free agent class, but there's one big free agent year. But Carrington, it was 6, 7, 8 years ago in free agency, you were going to see 4 or 5 mega moves. And then by this time of in 2018, you knew, oh, there was one super team, one super powered organization, and everyone else was just chasing it. And one team was collecting picks. Like, that was how it worked. I think we're seeing the parity we see in the NFL, which is a little bit schedule driven, but that doesn't matter, start to leak into the NBA. And I think it will affect in a positive way the NBA. Now there's a superstar in Indiana, albeit he's hurt. There's a superstar in Oklahoma City. And now free agency is, let's make smart role player moves. And I think that's going to help the health of the league. I think just in the now, because we're coming out of the super team era, we're fighting against the idea that it's like, oh, one superstar per team. But it is better for the health of the league if it's Shea has to beat a superstar in every round, as opposed to it's just a walkthrough until the finals, which is what the Cavs and those teams were doing.
Yeah, I think we're arguing this a different thing here. I don't disagree with you that it is better for the league that there is parity, but I also think in terms of interest, people were more interested in the NBA when there were teams to hate. People wanted to see the Heat either win and see LeBron get a championship, or you wanted to root against the Miami Heat. I don't know if, like, I think it's sort of the people don't know what they want. They hated the NBA when it was, well, we know exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be these same two teams. Yet people love the 90s with the Bulls. Like, wait, the same team won 60% of the time. And yet you tell me the NBA should go back to that. And then now we have it where there's been 7 different teams. Now it's, man, we missed the dynasty era. Mission there was one good team. So I just don't really know if there's appeasing everybody when we are talking about this one thing. Someone on the text line asked, where is Christian Brown going to sign it for how much? I assume he's going back to Denver, and I assume for a lot of money. I just would guess. He's actually turned into a very good, very important NBA player. Have you heard anything contrary to that where he would go somewhere else? I don't know why Denver would get rid of him.
He's extension eligible right now, but he's not a free agent, is he? Because he left Kansas in 2022. It's only 2025. That first year contract isn't just 3 years, even if you are a second round pick.
Yeah, so the question kind of threw me off. I was like, wait, did I miss something about Christian Brown? Like, I don't even know where he would go.
I mean, he's extension eligible to my knowledge, but I don't think he's a free agent. So the answer is Denver. Like, maybe Denver moves on because they're kind of cleaning house, but I don't know why they move on from him.
He's 24 years old, and he's just been very, very productive. Like, he's been very, very good.
He ain't going nowhere.
So I'm looking at his deal right now. He has one more year left on a club option, and then he'll be a restricted free agent. I mean, he'll basically, I know it sounds, I'm not saying this because just he's a white player. I feel like he'll be like Austin Reeves. I feel like kind of the same way that Austin Reeves was in free agency. I feel like that's what Christian Brown will be. 4 years, $52 million, somewhere in that range. Maybe 4 for $64 million, somewhere in that. That's how much Christian Brown is worth. He's really developed into a very good player in the league. If you need like a third, fourth scoring option, a guy that can do a little bit of everything, great defender, can rebound, super athletic, Christian Brown's a good player. He's definitely going to get a good contract for somewhere.
I mean, he's been the best pro on that Kansas City title. I would have told you
he's the only pro on that team. They got anybody else?
Jalen Wilson's kicking around, yeah, and so is Ochai.
He's,
but
he's out here hooping for the Nets, which I don't really know if that counts. Is he really a great pro?
Ochai's quasi hooping for the Raptors, which definitely doesn't count. I mean, Christian Brown is a starter on a playoff team.
Christian Brown's one of the best players they've ever had come out of KU. If we're thinking about like pro prospect wise, there aren't that many KU players they've had under Self that have had better starts to their career.
I mean, Joel obviously has had a better.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, he's definitely one of the five best they've had.
He's definitely the starting five. Definitely the starting five.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing for KU.
And I'm trying to think who else would be in that conversation. Which one of the Morris twins had? Markeith's still kicking around in the league.
Yeah, Marcus actually was a good player in the league.
Mm-hmm. He just, his twin. Yeah, Wiggins.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not that many of them. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's been better than Xavier Henry. A lot of mm-hmm. those guys that kind of, he's been better than Kelly Oubre.
Yep. Wiggins. Wiggins is the epitome of empty buckets, but he's still scoring in the league.
Yeah, shout out to Christian Brown, man. I got no beef with Christian Brown. Shout out to
Huskies forever, buddy. Let's go.
I don't know.
Blue Valley Northwest.
It's too much. It's a little too much over there. It's too much Blue Valley Northwest, and it's KU. It's a little too much. Right,
Northwest to KU. That's the pathway, baby. Let's go.
You know what I need you to do? I need you to pipe down. That's what I need you to do. I need you to pipe down, my friend. Earlier on the show today, we had Josh Vernier. He says the Royals should trade Lugo no matter what.
If I'm JJ, if I'm John Sherman, I'm praying Seth Lugo stays healthy tonight, and I'm hoping that price goes up and hoping that more teams stay in it, right? You want the Diamondbacks to stay in it so they don't make Zach Gallen available. You want the other right-handed trade options to stay on quality teams, because to me, in a market like this, they're, even if the Royals get red hot and win every single game going into the All-Star break, you still need to trade Seth Lugo. If you're above 500, I still think you need to trade Seth Lugo, because if you're above 500, that means maybe this offense is starting to turn it around, because it's not just we're living and dying with our starting pitching. Again, it goes back to my edict to the front office. Prove to me that it's not a white flag and you can move Seth Lugo today. But until you can do that, let's take this thing to the deadline.
I think that Vern has the right mindset for how the Royals should handle Seth Lugo. I don't think that the Royals should make this trade today. I don't really think that the trade doors have kind of opened around Major League Baseball. You can play this out toward the All-Star break. You can probably play this out a week after the All-Star break. I mean, the trade deadline is not till July 31st, and it's the 8th. So you got a lot of time between now and then to field offers, see where you're at, see how you're performing, see what's working, what's not working. The Royals have time before they need to make this decision. This is where I would be fearful with the Royals and what I would be worried about. I don't want the Royals to fool themselves. And I think what has happened in sports, because we keep expanding the entry point for the postseason. No, now more NFL teams make the postseason. So maybe we'd feel different about Mike Tomlin or the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they got to be the seventh seed in the playoffs. So, oh, well, they made the playoffs. Well, almost 50% of the NFL makes the postseason now because they've expanded it. More baseball teams make the postseason than any other generation of baseball because they have expanded the wild card again. More NBA teams make it because of the play-in. Like, more teams qualify for the postseason. So I understand why teams feel, man, if we just make it into the dance, we got a shot. But I think it's also given some teams a false sense of security, or makes you feel like you are further along for the actual goal than what you are. And what I think the worst thing that could happen to the Royals this season at this point is, aside from an injury, the worst thing that can happen is they get a real solid, legitimate offer for Seth Lugo, who I imagine is going to have multiple suitors. He's a very talented starting pitcher near the deadline that has been very healthy and very productive over the last couple of seasons. The Royals will have multiple offers to go out and make a move if that's what they want to do. What I don't want the Royals to do is convince themselves, if they're 4.5 games out of the third wild card spot, that they're in it, that they should keep Seth Lugo and be all in for the rest of this season. No, I don't think that's the best play for you as an organization. The truth is, Seth Lugo is not going to be on the team next year. I'd have a different stance if you told me Lugo was going to be on the team next year. But Seth Lugo has a player option at the end of this season. Not a mutual option, not a club option, a player option. He is not opting in. And maybe he would come back to the Royals, but If you're opting in for the 1 year $15 million and the market is telling you that you're worth somewhere closer to 60 or 65, are you coming back to Kansas City on the 1 year deal, or are you going in search of more guaranteed money? So the Royals are going to lose Seth Lugo at the end of the season one way or the other. You can lose him and get some high-end prospects, or you can lose him and get something else. But there really is no other option. He's not going to be on the team. And I do think that the Royals are positioned, at least for the future, where you've got Cole Ragans, you've got Chris Bubich, who made the All-Star team. Ragans made the All-Star team last year. You've got Noah Cameron, who has really developed. You've got Michael Wacha. The Royals' rotation in 2026 is going to be very strong next year. You can still make the playoffs with their rotation, but the Royals got to start taking a look at themselves, and they got to start making some hard choices when it comes to their outfield and to their lineup. Their lineup has struggled for the most part for almost going on a year now. Basically, since August 1st last year, their offense has struggled in a lot of different ways. They're tied for last in runs. They're 29th in home runs. They're last in walks. The Royals got to push to be more of a middle of the pack or better offense, or we're going to keep churning our wheels and potentially burn one of the best stretches of pitching that they've had as an organization. So I stand with Vern. I agree with them. Unless the Royals are over 500 in a game back of the wild card as we get closer to the trade deadline, I just can't see too many scenarios in which I would be on the side of them keeping Seth Lugo. Maybe it means you're waving the white flag for the here and now and for the 2025, but I think it's about setting yourself up for 2026 when the Royals could have big aspirations. If they maintain that rotation that I just told you about, and the Royals go out and spend some money and they take these prospects and they turn it into something, or they go out and spend money in free agency, the Royals can strengthen their lineup, go make a couple of moves to help out the outfield, and still have a very good rotation next year. Next year, the Royals could actually be a pretty decent team.
I don't view trading Seth Lugo in any scenario as a white flag. Now, maybe they lose every game between now and the deadline. I guess that'd be a white flag, but that's not Seth Lugo. I think the best case scenario for the Royals is what quite literally happened with the Tigers last year. They traded Jack Flaherty, similar to how the Royals need to trade Seth Lugo. They also traded their best bullpen arm in Andrew Chafin. The Royals can probably make a deal on top of Seth Lugo. And they were 52 and 55 the deadline. They caught fire. They made the playoffs. Everyone had a great time in Detroit. And they also set themselves up to be better in 25, 26, 27. The Royals can do both. It's not a white flag. It is not, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but fans, I think, are viewing this as, you know, it's black and white. There's a lot of gray here. You can trade Seth Lugo in 2 weeks, add a prospect that helps you in 26, and add a reliever that helps you in 25 and 26, and still be okay set up for 25. Because if Cole Ragans, and I know he got moved to the 60-day IL today, and I haven't seen any reporting beyond just that move, he's eligible to come off on August 5th. If he comes off and wants to get back on the field and you feel like you're in a race, you could have him, you could have Wacha, you could have Cameron, you could have Bubich. Maybe you hold on to Michael Lorenzen. Maybe there is a way to be competitive this season while simultaneously better positioning yourself for 26. I think Royals fans here were trading a player on the team, and it's just, oh man, they're quitting on the team. They can do both. They can be set up to be competitive, maybe fall short in 25, but be better in 26 because they make that smart move by moving on from Lugo.
Yeah, someone just texted in, but CDOT, wildcard baseball teams can actually win the World Series. No other league can say that. Well, I think that's a little bit fun with numbers because, A, I mean, just if we're comparing it to the NFL, the only team that really talks about wildcard in that way, A, there's more divisions in the NFL than there are in Major League Baseball. There's four divisions in the AFC. There's only three divisions in the American League. So that ends up mattering. And just in the NBA, they just don't have wildcard teams in that same way. I mean, we just saw this past year in college football, a wildcard team won the college football playoff this past year. Ohio State didn't win the Big Ten. They still won the championship. So, yes, you're right. You can win the championship without winning your division. But the Royals are 14 games out of their division, and they're 5 games back of the wild card. I'm not talking to you about what you feel about the 14 Royals or the 15 Royals. I'm asking you, we have seen almost 100 games of the Royals in 2025. Almost 100. Do you think this team can go on a run? If your answer is yes, then let's talk about it. And why you think the Royals can make a run and how they can do something to better their chances. But if you're holding on to me for the fact of, well, I mean, remember the Cardinals? Remember? Well, no. What about this team? What about a team right now that is dead last in runs, 29th in home runs, and last in walks? What makes you think that team can be consistent enough against the best teams in baseball to dominate the most important month of the season? I just haven't seen enough to me to feel good about the Royals' chances of doing that. No one wants to admit that their team's going to be 8-9. I think the Royals are a 77-78 win team. I think they're a 78 win team. I don't think the Royals are terrible by any means, but I don't think they're at 85. I mean, last year the Royals won 86 games last year and were the third wild card team. Does this team feel like that team? Like they're the third best? Like I don't feel that way about this Royals team. That's what I mean by being realistic. And to me, if the Royals organization are holding on to a pipe dream and a best case scenario, I don't think they're doing right by us, the supporters. I don't think they're doing right by their team if that's what they're holding on to make a run in the second half of the season. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but Chris Paul has announced that this is going to be his last season in the NBA. So you know what I decided to do? I made my all first team no championships. This is the qualifications that I put. You had to be drafted post 2000. So this is not an all-time historic. Where's Charles Barkley? Oh, well, he wasn't drafted after 2000.
So no Barkley, no Marino. Let's just get out of the way.
This is all NBA players.
Okay.
This is all basketball team. So you have to be drafted after 2000. I chose to not draft anybody who was in their prime. So I didn't take Anthony Edwards, for example. He's 24 years old. So, yes, he doesn't have a championship, but certainly a lot of time to go get a championship. Luka Doncic, for example. I don't think it's fair to hold Luka Doncic to the same qualification that we do Chris Paul, for example, for not winning a championship. So that is the qualification for this team that I've put together. Must be drafted after 2000. I did not take you if you were in the prime of your career. This was my first team. At point guard, Russell Westbrook. At shooting guard, James Harden. At the three spot, Carmelo Anthony. At the four, Amari Stoudemire. At the five. Now, I maybe bended the rules a little bit. I took Joel Embiid. I don't think that Embiid's in the prime of his career anymore. He's 31 years old. I think Embiid is on the downside of his career, and I don't think that Embiid ever gets a championship. I think that Embiid's best chance to get a chip was actually the year that Kawhi Leonard got his with the Raptors. That was a really good team. Ben Simmons was still actually Ben Simmons. They had Jimmy Butler on that team. Joel Embiid was maybe the best big man in the NBA, and they got beat by one of the greatest buzzer beaters in the history of basketball. I think that was his best chance to get a ring, and that was in, what, 2017, 2018 when that shot happened? Yeah, I'm looking at it. I think that Embiid deserves to be on this team. So that's my first team. I also made a second team, but I want to get your opinions on the first team. I thought of this because Chris Paul recently announced that he is going to play his final season in the league. So Russell Westbrook is at the point. James Harden is the two. Carmelo, the three. Amari Stoudemire at the four. And Joel Embiid at the five. What do you think of that team?
I have no problem with that team. I'm curious what the second team is because there's a few names that I think just missed, and I can make an argument for, but I want to see if they came in the second team before I just make that decision. Cause like Paul George feels like one that should playoff Paul or what was he calling himself? It doesn't matter.
Playoff P.
I feel like he should probably be in this conversation, but he might be on that second team. So I'm going to hold total judgment until I hear that second wave. Cause playoff P probably deserves to be on the second team behind James Harden. But like, that's kind of the yin and yang there.
I actually do have Paul George on this team. So this is the team: Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Paul George, Joakim Noah, Yao Ming. That is my starting five on the second team. No championships post 2000 in the NBA. CP3, Dame, Playoff P, Podcast P, Joakim Noah, who was a really, really productive player, and Yao Ming, who was drafted in 2001. Those are my no ring all-stars.
Where's Derrick Rose?
It's a great question. Let me ask you this, though.
He got hurt, so it's, if you want to talk
about
hate.
But I'm asking, who are you taking off the list? Because if we are going from a guard perspective, I don't think that he was better than Russell Westbrook. I wouldn't put him over James Harden. Are you putting him over Chris Paul? I wouldn't personally put him over Chris Paul, and I wouldn't put him over Dame.
I think I would put him over Dame. I think Derrick Rose at the peak of his power, when he was the best, he was an MVP. Like that, Damian Lillard's never been that level of good. When Derrick Rose was at the prime of his career, I would think Derrick Rose is a more talented player than Damian Lillard. Now, longevity, if you want to have that conversation, cool. But Derrick Rose 100% needs to be on a second team to me over Damian Lillard.
Someone on the text line says, why'd you put Joakim Noah on the team? There just aren't that many good bigs from this era. The game has just really, really changed for the most part. Maybe you could put like LaMarcus Aldridge on this team as your four, but there's just not a lot of size. And the guys who are tall, like the big guys, they all got championships. Like, you might be thinking Dwight Howard ends up getting a championship with the Lakers in 2020. There's just not a lot of very talented bigs that didn't get a championship during this time.
I'm trying to think who, like, outside of Noah, who even other be possible players that would be a
most
big.
Of the really good 2000 bigs eventually were on a team that won a championship. Powell, Mark Gasol, like most of those guys, Brooke Lopez, guys are like talented fours or five, ended up winning championships.
Like Roy
someone
Hibbert
said, what about Tracy McGrady? McGrady wasn't drafted in 2000. McGrady was drafted in 98.
Mm-hmm. Roy Hibbert wasn't good enough for a big. There was one time where we thought Roy Hibbert may have been the best big in the NBA, which what a wild ride that was. Yeah, did you have Jimmy Butler?
I don't know who you're taking off for Jimmy Butler. I mean, I guess you would take off Paul George for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I would take George. I would have George over Butler as far as
Jimmy Butler is one of those players that, I know this, I'm not comparing him to this person, but you know how people like always kind of make fun of kind of John Elway and his stats. And a lot of the older guys were like, wait, you weren't there. Like, you didn't see John Elway. John Elway is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I kind of think that's how we're going to be when people talk about Jimmy Butler. Like, people are going to bring up, oh, Jimmy, no, you weren't there. I'm telling you that if it was a playoff game, there are not many players over the last 20 years that you rather have on your team than Jimmy Butler. He is absolutely going to be one of those gotta be there kind of players. Someone makes a good point. I'll swap out one player. I'm going to swap out Joakim Noah for Blake Griffin. That's the power forward.
That's the one.
Blake Griffin's the power forward for that team. So good call, text line. I'm swapping him out.
Did DeAndre ever get one? DeAndre Jordan? Was he on the Nuggets? Yeah.
He was.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He was.
These guys just fall into good teams in their career.
Yeah, someone said, what about DeMarcus Cousins? I think that Boogie is a better player. I think I'd rather have
Boogie was never close to doing any winning whenever he played.
That's what I'm saying. I think I'd rather have Joakim Noah on my team than have DeMarcus Cousins.
What's the farthest Cousins even made it in the playoffs in his career?
I just think Cousins is just like one of those guys that just had a lot of empty buckets in his career. Lot of empty buckets.
Honestly, I bet if we looked up his numbers, he's a lot more sizzle than steak.
100%. And I like DeMarcus Cousins. It's because wrong,
he was
certainly hoop. Yeah, I feel that same way about
him. He was great at Kentucky. It was right when the one and done became a thing, and then he made the league. It was a good. That's probably the guy.
Yeah, no, I feel that same way about him. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.